Let me begin today by saying that you are not saved by making Jesus Christ your Lord. But the moment you trust in, you cling to, you rely upon Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin and death, you're immediately under the Lordship of Jesus Christ from that time on. So the moment you believe on the Lord Jesus, God the Father makes him the Lord of your life. From that time forward, the Lord exerts upon you his lordship. And from that time on, he makes you know more and more of his claims over your life. And you can never get away from it. So when we go to Romans chapter 14 this morning, the apostle has written to us who are believers in Christ. And here's what he says. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. In other words, we are under our master, the Lord Jesus Christ, when we're saved. And he is saying that when you judge your brother or sister in things that are not moral, when you judge them, you are judging out of your area. Only Christ can judge us ultimately for how we are doing in our Christian life. The Lord Jesus, he alone reserves the right of judgment in those kind of matters, non-moral matters. Now, we have responsibilities to judge in the church under Christ, but in those matters. And your brother or sister in Christ is not your servant. They are Christ's servant, and he is their master. And so you have no responsibility or obligation or authority to judge those who are your brothers and sisters in Christ in that way. So I want you to look at Romans 14, and I want to say that every born-again believer is under the lordship of Jesus Christ, no matter where you go or what you decide to do. You are under his lordship. He is your master. You can never escape his lordship, no matter where you go or what you do. So the message today to believers is you cannot escape the lordship of Jesus Christ. Number one, you cannot escape the lordship of Jesus Christ. And I want to say number one because you are perpetually possessed by the Lord. Look with me at Romans 14. I'm going to read verses 7 and 8. It says, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's." Now, he's writing about you as a believer, you who are believers, in verse 8, and he's saying, whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. You say, can somebody commit suicide? That's a believer. It's happened, but you cannot escape the lordship of Jesus Christ by doing that. By the way, if you're not saved, you cannot escape pain by committing suicide, because if you're not saved, you'll still have God's judgment and you'll have to face him. I'm saying that you cannot escape the lordship of Jesus Christ. And if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, that means that the Lord Jesus Christ owns you. He possesses you. Some people don't like that. Oh, I don't want to be owned. I don't want to be possessed. Well, let me tell you, either the devil owns you or the Lord owns you. Which would you rather have? Either the devil owns you or the Lord owns you. Who do you want for your Lord and Master? You have either one or the other. Either you're the Lord's, or the Bible says you're of your father the devil, and the will of your father you'll do. And so I want to say to you, I'm glad this morning I am under the ownership of the Lord. I'm glad the Lord owns me. The Lord Jesus Christ owns me. And I want to say, a famous atheist once said, "I am the captain of my fate and the master of my destiny." Let me say, that's a lie out of the pit of hell. I knew a kid that went into a movie theater and they were eating popcorn. He got popcorn lodged in his throat. He was choking. They tried to save him, and he died right in front of them. He was only a young boy. You're not the master of your fate and the captain of your destiny. There are 1,000 ways to die. God is in control of life and death. God is God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, he's called in John chapter 1, the Word of God. That means that the Lord Jesus spoke everything in the universe right into existence just by speaking it. He said it, it all came to be. So he is the owner of everyone's life in the universe, whether it's animal life or human life or angelic life. He owns it all. And no matter what you do, you're still the special creation of God. Somebody says, oh, I don't believe in a creator. I don't believe in a special creation of God. Well, the Bible says you are a fool then, because the fool has said in his heart, right, there is no God. You'll still give an account to God. You can say there's no such thing as electricity, but stick your finger in a 220 outlet and you're going to find out there's electricity. I'm saying that if you're a believer in Christ, do you know that you're owned by the Lord in two ways? Not only did he make you, he created you, but listen to me. Secondly, you're his by what's called redemption. Here's what the Bible says. It says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 20. I'm thinking of a father and son who they made a boat out of popsicle sticks. You know, the wooden little popsicle sticks? And they glued them together and worked on this boat for a long time and made this beautiful sailboat. It was gorgeous and large. And then they waterproofed it with paint and they painted it in beautiful colors. And it was a great big sailboat. They put sails on it. And they worked on it together, the father and the son. They were so proud of it. And they would take it out sailing with a string. You know, they would sail it in the waters and it would sail. And it was so beautiful as it went along. And everybody commented on the boat. One day they took it out sailing and the son was sailing the boat. And a wave came and broke the string and the boat sailed off. And just kept going and disappeared. And the son lost the boat. He was so sad. He went to the father. The father was so sad. They worked on this boat together. They had, as if you were, created it, you know. And then one day, the father found the boat at a pawn shop. And it was up for sale for $500. Can you imagine that? And the father told the son, our boat is there, it was found, and now the owner says it'll cost $500 to buy it. And he said to the son, why don't you get some jobs and work for that boat? And the son worked day after day and earned money to get that boat. By the way, can I say something? You don't appreciate something when you don't work for it. People that just come across the border and they're given things and given money, and it's not the American way, it's not God's way. The Bible says if you don't work, you shall not what? Eat. That's always been the way it is in America. And so able-bodied people should be working, but that's not the way it works now, because they give away things that are really not theirs anyway. They're stealing from the people. And so this son didn't believe in that. He believed in work, and the father believed in work, and he worked very hard, and finally he earned the $500, and he went to the shop, and he presented the 500. Benjamin said, 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, and the guy said, it's yours. And he took the boat back, and as he's carrying the boat back with the father, he said to the boat, you're mine. You're mine because I made you, and you're mine because I bought you. You see, If you are bought with the price of the blood of Jesus Christ, because he's your Savior, you are his twice over. And he thinks it's precious. You know, we have soul winning books, and Brother Joe teaches the soul winning course, and the books are $7. And we don't just give away those books, because if we gave them away, you wouldn't appreciate them. We say, earn the money and buy the book. Get some skin in the game. You know what? Jesus Christ has skin in the game. He gave his flesh and he gave his blood for our salvation. And you are possessed because you're purchased by the Lord Jesus. He owns you. You can't get away from that. His blood is over your life if you have accepted him as your Savior. And maybe you've run away from the Lord. Maybe you go away from his will from your life. Remember Jonah did that? He took a boat. He bought a ticket and he went away from God's will. God said, I want you to go over here. And he went in the opposite direction. But could he get away from the Lord? Could he get away from the Lord Jesus? No, he couldn't. The Lord sent a storm to bring him back. And then that wasn't enough. The Lord sent a whale. And the whale swallowed him and vomited him back up. The Lord got him back. And I want to say this. If you are a born-again Christian, you cannot get away from the lordship of Jesus Christ over your life. You know what? I'm glad I can't get away from it. I don't really want to get away from it. If I do want to get away from it, I'm glad he won't let me get away from it. I'm glad he's like that, because I would destroy myself and you would destroy yourself. You see, if you are the Lord's, you can't get away, because you're the Lord's. He made you and he bought you with his own blood away from the world and the devil. And we're possessed to the Lord. You know, we went to a bonfire this week for our Sunday school class. How many of you went to the bonfire? Wasn't that a nice bonfire? And the fire was so beautiful, and it was made of ash wood, and it was just shaped perfectly. And we had delicious hot dogs. I enjoyed them vicariously through others. And we had these delicious hot dogs and s'mores, and you know, and it was a nice fire. And it was a 90% chance of rain. Right before I came, they said, it will be raining when you get there. And I was like, oh boy. But Miss Diane was praying. We were praying. Her husband was praying. And you know what? It did not rain there. It rained on the left, on the right. It did not rain there. Right after we left, it started to rain. But it did not rain there. God took care of that. And you know what? Whether I went to that bonfire or not, I'm the Lord's. But I knew the Lord wanted me at that bonfire. You know that? Now I could say, I'm too old. I'm going to just relax. I'm not going to go to a bonfire. But I'm glad I went there. And just like you're sitting on these benches, we sat on benches. No pillows for you there. But we sat at that bonfire. But we had a good time. Miss Diane said, do you want to do testimonies? Do you want to preach? Do you want to? I said, let's just talk to each other. I said, we don't often get to do that. It's really nice. But I'm just saying to you, whether you go to a bonfire, let's say you say, I'm not going to go. Well, you make that decision, but you're still the Lord's. You just may be missing out on something the Lord wanted for you. I don't want to, because I'm the Lord's, guess what? I want to embrace the lordship of Jesus Christ. I want to find out, Lord, what do you want me to do? That'd be a good idea. Check in with him once in a while. You say, well, I don't feel like it. Well, you're a dumb head. Check in with the Lord. He's your Lord and Master. He knows what's best for you. And you cannot escape the lordship of Christ, because you're possessed by him perpetually. You're purchased by him. And that's number one. And he is your creator. He is your redeemer. And number two, you cannot escape the lordship of Jesus Christ, because you're powered by the Lord. Not only are you possessed, you're powered. It says in Romans 6:18, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. You know, it's interesting here in this scripture, if you look at Romans 14 and look with me at verse 9, I'll read it. It says, "For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living." I thought, well, he died, he rose again. What does it mean to revive? That the Lord revived. I mean, wouldn't that be rose again? But you know what he did? When the Lord was on the cross, he was treated like he was being guilty of Adam's sin. Remember, Adam sinned and was separated from God, and God condemned him to death. Well, when the Lord hung on that cross, he not only paid for our sins, but he died for Adam's sin. He was condemned for Adam's sin. And after Adam sinned, he could not have personal fellowship with the Lord. He lost God's Spirit in his life. But when the Lord died on the cross, he rose again, he revived us back to where we were before Adam sinned. And where were we before Adam sinned? We had fellowship with God. The Bible says, or certainly it teaches, that the chief purpose of our life is to glorify God and enjoy God. Do you enjoy God? Adam did every day. And when Christ died and rose again, he revived that old relationship that we had with God in Adam before he sinned, so that we can walk with God and God can have his Spirit in our life, even the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit leads us now. He prompts us. He guides us. He helps us. Have you ever had a GPS in your car? Brother Steve, you use a GPS, and Brother Steve calls it God's prompting spirit when the Spirit prompts him. And you know what? That's exactly right. The Holy Spirit prompts us, listen to me, to live our lives according to the Bible. That is, if you are the Lord's. If you're not the Lord's, you don't have the Holy Spirit. You don't have Jesus inside of you. You're like a car without an engine. There's nothing that drives you for the Lord. Maybe somebody can push you. You can push a car without an engine. You know, like my friend Joe, he had a car with no engine. He used to pop the clutch when it wouldn't go. They had an old time. They used to pop the clutch. They'd push it and pop the clutch. It would start it up. And he kept popping the clutch in this car, popping the clutch. Finally, he realized somebody had stole the engine out of the car. That's what happens with some people. You think they're believers, but you have to push them all the time. All you have to do is push them to go to church. Push them here, push them there. Now, I know sometimes we need pushing, but how about God's prompting spirit? Are you in touch with God's prompting spirit? You see, if you're under the lordship of Jesus Christ, you can't escape God's prompting spirit. He's in you to lead you to come to church, not sleep in. He leads you to come to church. He leads you to read your Bible. He leads you to pray. He leads you to do things to help others and to show love to others. Maybe when you don't feel like it, he leads you. And so you can't escape the power of the Lord's prompting spirit. And what does he prompt you to do? According to Romans chapter 6 that I quoted, verse 18, he prompts you to do right. He prompts you to do right, not what feels good. You know, some people say, if it feels good, do it. And you know what? They go off and live like cats and dogs and fornicate with the opposite sex. By the way, can I say something? If you're possessed by the Lord, he will teach you not to have sexual immorality, not to fornicate. And what's that? To have the marriage act with anybody that you're not in a covenant of marriage with. It is not God's will for you. Let me say that again. It is not God's will for you. And God's prompting spirit will say, do not, young people, hold hands with the opposite sex, kiss the opposite sex, and all of that, and pet on top of the clothes, or that'll lead to petting under the clothes, and that'll lead to fornication. Why? Don't do that, because, you see, that's not how God's prompting spirit is leading you. I'm saying you can't escape the lordship of Jesus Christ. If you are the Lord's, you're purchased by him or possessed by him. If you're the Lord's, you are powered by the Holy Spirit to do right. and it's over your life, and if you try to get away from it, you're going to feel guilty. If you try to get away from it, you're going to feel empty. If you try to get away from it, you're going to realize I've got a God-shaped vacuum inside of me. Nothing else can fill that. Nothing else can satisfy that. That's why you believers who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you are pure D stupid, like Charlie Ware used to say, pure D, whatever that meant, if you don't embrace God's prompting spirit, if you don't embrace intuitively doing what he's leading you to do. Because you see, you're trying to go contrary to the lordship of Jesus Christ who purchased you. You're trying to go contrary to the lordship of Jesus Christ who possesses you by his indwelling Holy Spirit. And by the way, when he possesses you by his indwelling Holy Spirit, you are not possessed like devil possessed. You are his bond servant. That's what the Bible says. He set you free from Satan, who possessed you in a wicked way. But when he sets you free, you are his bond servant. What does that mean? In the Old Testament, when a man had a servant and that servant lived with him, he gave him the opportunity to go free after so many years. He said, okay, you can go free. And if the man said, no, I love you. I love this place. I love my job. I want to be your servant for life. He would pierce his ear, and that meant you're my bond servant. And he would stay with him for life. And that's what we do. We know the Lord set us free from the world. We don't want that world again. We know the Lord set us free from the devil. I don't want that again. To whom else shall I go? He's got the words, my friend, of eternal life. Where else shall I go? Because he purchased me, because he possesses me by his servant, I'm his bond servant, because his spirit's in me, and I embrace the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's why when I mess up, when I sin against him, I don't want to stay there. I don't want to stay in that place, you see, where I was. I want to serve the Lord. And so I'm just saying that is being a bond servant, and he indwells you. You know what? When you get saved, do you know what happens to you according to Romans chapter 6? You not only believe that Christ died for your sins and was buried and rose again so you could have your sins paid for. Do you know that you died with him? Not physically, but spiritually. Do you know you were buried when he was buried as far as what you used to be? The old man is called. Do you know you were raised and joined to him, and now you're in a new realm? You're living in a new kingdom. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. That's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Do you understand that? Do you realize that, young people? So you need to be what you really are. If you're new in Christ, you need to be what you are. Now, the way I would compare this, how many have heard of Nazi Germany and Adolf Hitler? How many have heard of that? Okay, let's say you're living in Nazi Germany and you're under Adolf Hitler and you're a Jew. Let's just say you're a Jew. Well, what's the law under Hitler? If you're a Jew now, the laws came, you need to turn yourself in. They'll put you on trains. They'll put you in a concentration camp. Once you get there, they'll tell you you're going to get a shower, but really they're going to release gas and you're going to be gassed to death in a terrible death while you're naked in a shower. That was the law under Hitler. That's if you lived as a Jew under Nazi Germany. By the way, you know where anti-Semitism comes from? It comes from Satan. Satan hates the Jews. And these people that talk and give all these excuses, Palestine this and Palestine that, it's a bunch of gobbledygook. They're just possessed by Satan. They hate Jews. You say, are Jews perfect? No, neither am I. But they're God's chosen nation. And so I'm just saying to you that if you live there in Nazi Germany under Hitler, but let's say you turned yourself over to somebody and you said, I need to be saved from Hitler, man. I don't like this place. And they go, okay, get in my basket here. And they put you in a basket. And they put you on this sled and they pulled you up a mountain. And it had skis on it, and they skied you down to the other side of the mountain and open the basket and say, come on out. And you get out of the basket, and you're like, Say, don't worry, you're in Switzerland. This is the other side of the mountain. They can't kill you here. Hitler can't arrest you here. You're in Switzerland. You're in another country. That's what Jesus did for me. You see? And I'm under another power, and I'm in another government. It's the government of Jesus. It's a government of grace, not of condemnation. It's a government of power, which is the power to do what God wants me to do. You have that power if you're a born-again Christian. Embrace it. Make use of it, beloved. The power is given to you to do the will of God. You know why you don't experience more of His power, beloved, today? I'll tell you why. Because you don't step out in faith to use that power. The Jews had to go into the Jordan River before God rolled the river back so they could go across. Every day I step out in faith again and again and again, and I do what the Lord wants me to do. And as I do what the Lord wants me to do, He gives me the power. It's not just given to you all at once. It's given to you as you use it. And so I'm saying to you, don't try to escape the lordship of Jesus Christ. He purchased you. Embrace it. Don't try to escape the lordship of Jesus Christ. He powers you. Embrace it. Use it. And lastly, you cannot escape the lordship of Jesus Christ. Lastly, because you are presented prizes by the Lord, or presents by the Lord. What does it say in Romans 14, verse 10 that we read this morning? The last part says, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You know, if you're a child of God today and you're under the lordship of Jesus Christ, whether you live or whether you die, you're still under the lordship of Christ. Death does not stop it. By the way, I'm not your Lord. I'm not your judge. Jesus is. I'm your pastor. Now, I do have the Spirit in me to try to help you to do well at the judgment. That's the thing God puts in my heart to do, because I want you to do well there, right? Just like a parent wants their kid to succeed. So He puts that in a pastor's heart if he's a true pastor. But I'm just saying to you, I'm not your judge. The Lord is your judge. You will stand before Him, not me. And I'll stand before Him for what I'm given to do. And so we all must stand. But listen, the good news is the judgment is not to determine whether you're going to go to heaven or hell by the things you've done. No, it's not that kind of judgment if you're a believer. If you're a believer in Christ, your hell has already been paid for by Jesus. And you're going to heaven. Glory to God for that. But you will still have a judgment seat. And you know what the judgment seat will be for? And this is for you kids. Did you listen during the sermon? Did you get what God wanted you to get? Did you do what God wanted you to do? Did you make use of the opportunities that God gave you? You see, you're accountable to the Lord for your time, for your money, for your talents, your spiritual gifts. You know, there's a gift of giving, and some people give and then they try to control their gift. I'm glad people like Brother Joe don't do that. He gives something and he never says, this is the way you're supposed to use the gift. This has got to... Now, you could designate a gift. There's nothing wrong with that. I designate my gift. This is what I want. But then once you do that, you don't try to run the church with your gift, with your money. That's not God. It's not a proper use of the gift of giving. You say, where do you get that? Romans 12 said, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. So why do you hit that pulpit like that, or whatever that thing is, Xavier? Because I've seen it done wrong and I don't like it. And I got a bully pulpit right here. So I'm just saying to you that you'll give an account for your spiritual gift and how you use it. And so we all are going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, and we're going to get gifts. You say, well, what are the gifts going to be? Well, look at the 12 apostles. They were saved men. They messed up. They sinned. And yet God said to Peter, he said to John, he said to James, I got a job for you in the kingdom. It's a gift I'm going to give you. And you know what their job is? Each one of them are going to rule over one of the tribes of the children of Israel. They're going to be the boss of the whole tribe of each one of the children of Israel. You think of King David. King David was a good man, right? But what do we think of when we think of King David? He committed adultery with Bathsheba. You ever think of that? How many have heard of that? David did that. Well, do you know what? God is not going to take away his reward for that. Do you know he's going to rule over the entire nation of Israel in the kingdom? He's going to be the king, the prince, it's called, under the King of Kings. Do you know you'll have jobs? Because 1 Corinthians 6 says, after the judgment seat of Christ, he'll give you a job to do. I don't know what your job's going to be. I put in for the mayor of Scranton. But he's going to give you a job to do. He's going to give you a job to do. And it's in the kingdom. Now, if you're not faithful, and you keep not being faithful, then guess what? He's going to take away your gift and you're going to have to sit it out. And you won't have something really significant to do in the Lord's kingdom. You'll enjoy heaven, but I wouldn't want to miss out on that. You say, well, Pastor, I don't have to listen. Well, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, not me. He's going to give you the reward, not me. I'm just a pastor. But I'm just telling you, listen, wise up. It's going to be important. By the way, you should embrace the gifts. You should want the gifts. We have gifts in our Christian school. The ones that are leading in the contest, they got to go down and get pumpkins. And you say, well, what good thing is that? Well, that's just a little prize they got. Now the big gift is coming later. They get all A's. They get a day off of school. They get to go to a big event. They get a big meal and everything. By the way, when we got the pumpkins, I said, you guys want to get lunch? And we drove to a Golden Corral. And they liked that. And they had a good time. And they got the day off school. But I'm just saying, you know, in our school, do you know who hates to lose? Lily Zukowski. I don't know where Luke is. Downstairs, right? Children's room. Isn't it true, Anna, that she cries when she doesn't do, like, perfect? You literally, she's, like, crying. Because Lily wants to win. She wants the rewards. And she gets into it. And I'm just saying to you, you know, the Bible says that if you're a believer, you ought to want to win. You say, well, who am I competing against? Diane Payone? Good luck. Who am I competing against? You're competing against your own potential. I told Brother Matt, he's a bus captain. He had 25 on the bus this week. I said, yeah, amen. He did good. I said, you're not competing against Brother Eric. You're competing against Brother Matthew. That you're doing as much as Matthew can do. And I believe God is blessing this guy. You see? We don't have any perfect people here. We got dings and dents in us, don't we? But we get back up and we keep going. And David had a ding, but he got back up and he kept going. You know, some people, they get back up and then they go down again. I had a guy tell me, he said, Pastor, you preached a message, fall 7 times, rise up again. He said, I've been doing that. I've been remembering that. He said, I fall down, but I get right back up. And you know what? If you get back up, you can still get rewarded. It's when you stay down that you lose the rewards. And you just say, I give up. I'm not going to do it anymore. I fall down. That's not what David did. That's not what this guy's learning to do. That's not what Matthew's learning to do. We all fall. I mess up. I fall. But I want to get back up so I can get, Brother Joe, an abundant entrance into his everlasting kingdom, as it says in 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to have that abundant entrance. Like Lily, she doesn't want to be in second or third. She wants to be number one. Anna, what place? You were second place so far. Anna gets into it too. But I'm just saying, and Camille, and this girl, she's right up in there. But you know what I found out? You got to show up. You got to live right, Brother Bob. And you got to work hard. And then, you know what makes success? That little bit extra beyond that. The people that do a little bit extra beyond that, they get the big prize. You say, do you really think we should want those prizes? Absolutely. That's why we have a contest at RBCS. We get so many good things happening because of that. And the Lord gives out the prizes after the rapture. That's what you ought to be working for. That's what you ought to be living for. And you know what? Some people, they mess up and they want to stay messed up. How many have gone to a grocery store? You go to Walmart, you go to a grocery store, and you grab that basket, and you start pushing it, and it's got a bent wheel. And you're trying to push that sucker. It's a bent wheel. Now, I'm probably one in a million. I'll take that bent wheel and push it all through the store. I do that in practice for being a pastor. No, I'm just kidding. I do that because I'm real vain and I want to be in shape. So I use it as exercise. I don't always do that. Sometimes I'm like, no, that's too much. But you know what? You don't want that bent wheel. You're not going to use that. And a person that's not available to serve the Lord, you're not going to keep pushing that person. I'm just letting them go. I'm saying, I'm going to get somebody else I can push. I'll go ask Diane, man. That's easy. You know what I'm saying? I'll ask Brother Joe. I'll ask Brother Matthew here. He'll take some time, but he'll do it. I'm just saying to you, I want to be available to the Lord to be that person. And that God can use because you're presented prizes by the Lord. You are powered by the Lord. You are purchased in the possession of the Lord in a special way. And you can't get away from it. So why have him have to chasten you and pull you back? Why not just embrace it and say, Lord, I want all of this I can get, man. And I want to be used to reach others. You know what? He'll use you. Have you accepted the Lord as your Savior? Then have you been baptized to make it public? And if you've been baptized, have you joined the local church? That's part of it. You're not even on the team then. You may be saved if you trusted Christ. You are saved. But then you should get baptized, put on the jersey, and then join the team. And then once you join that team, you live for God and you serve God and you'll be blessed. And so that's what God wants. Let's bow for prayer this morning. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We've been